greet you, brothers and sisters. I feel the Lord leading me to share with you. The brothers asked me, so I chose the chapter 16 of Matthew, the first 20 verses. So one of you brothers, can you read it?
Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, the first 20 verses. We will read with the Lord's help, and the brother has asked that we would read that just because of difficulty in him reading in the English language. So, Gospel of Matthew 16, the first 20 verses. Ljubazinajena Evangelija po Mateju, 16. Glava, prvi 20 brojeva. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but ye cannot discern the things or the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the five loaves of the 5,000, and how many baskets ye took up? Neither the seven loaves of the 4,000, and how many baskets ye took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it, not to you concerning bread, that ye should be aware beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ.
Heavenly Father, this morning hour we come close to the foot of the cross. It's the right place for us to be as we consider ourselves. Heavenly Father, as much as you did for us, everything that is done for us, we was not found worthy. And our sins been washed by the blood that is one day was shed with us, for us. This morning, our Father, we come and we ask to our prayers, each individual in this place, brothers and sisters and friends. This is the place that we come this morning to hear thy word. And we ask for thy Holy Spirit that has been promised to us that he will guide us and instruct us and give us direction in this life, because there is so much confusion. Heavenly Father, we pray that thy Holy Spirit give us a portion this day to each one of us, that our hearts can be encouraged, that our hearts can be have the direction that we need. Oh, Father, and also we need comfort. We need, Father, that our lives can depend on Thee. Help us to not go in our own way. Help us, for Heavenly Father, that Thy word that we just read, help us to understand. Oh, Father, we've been seeing so many signs in this life. And some of them discourage us. And some of them, Father, they bring confusion. Help us to see above everything. And Thy word has hope for us. That is why we come this morning searching as a little lamb. Father, we pray that Thy name will be glorified as we got in this place together. We call upon Thee, Father, because there is no other place that we can go. We thank You for listening to the cry of our hearts. And we pray the Holy Spirit will bring to us hope. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We live in the hard times, and we are so depend what people, what other people says. As I was considering the scripture, I start thinking when there was not so much information in my young years. Being on the farm, most of the time we don't even have a clock, a watch with us. And I remember my father look at the sky as Jesus, and the time of Jesus, the Pharisees and the Sadducees asked him about a question. And Jesus reminded them and said, you know how to distinguish what the weather will be. Working on the farm, I can see, and I heard my father saying, looks like tomorrow we're not going to be able to work. And sometimes in the morning, he will say, that will be a nice day today. We will be working all day. And I remember that. But today, we don't look over only for tomorrow. We can hear in the news, the weatherman will say all the rest of the week, and probably for a month, how will it be for us? Sunny days? Cold days, hot days. And it's so beautiful this morning to see the snow. I don't see it very often. But there's nothing wrong with that. But Jesus told the disciples and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, you need to learn to distinguish the signs of heaven. And we have plenty. As we search the scriptures, we can see plenty signs for us. And Jesus spoke about some of those signs. And one of them says, remember the fig tree. When the leaves are coming, you must know that summer is at the gate. We have a fig tree in our yard. And last week, my wife says the leaves are coming. So there is a hope that we will have some figs in the future. And also, Jesus says that in the end, there will be a very difficult times where many will fail and depart from the where's the way of God. It's going to be so much confusion, and we experience many times confusion because we walk in our own way. God promised in his Son Jesus and the Holy Spirit that He will be with us all the days, walking side by side. Even He says, I will take you in my right hand. And we forgot about it. Don't you? I do sometimes. I have my own personal opinion and things on life. So I forgot things. And I had to come into my knees and say, Lord, please forgive me. I fell this day. How many times do we do this, brothers and sisters? I think that maybe the closest one that we can be honest is with ourselves, right? We don't want to be discouraged other people, but when we come face to face and in our relationship with the Lord, we go to Him and say, God, I know that I failed. They ask for a sign. They want a sign. They saw a lot of miracles. Blinds, people, blind men became healed. Lepers, crippled people, dead. And they still don't believe. See, what we forgot is that we have an enemy, a powerful enemy, that he will bring blindness to any kind of man, any kind of person. And we forgot that the enemy has all kinds of ways to deceive. And these people, they argue so much with Jesus, they tempt him in many ways. So they come to him and ask questions with double standard. But Jesus knows their hearts. He knows our hearts. When we question him, I was sharing with Brother Bob and Sister Elizabeth this week, you know, when we come to those times that we question God, why do you allow this? I remember over 10 years ago, I had an older sister that I want to share the gospel with her, and I talked to her, and I said, I want to see you in heaven. And I remember that evening that I would talk to her, and I said, I don't want you to perish. I don't want you to go to hell. There was the day that my father passed away, and after the funeral, we got together, and I started talking to her. I was moved to talk to her. And after I came back home, my wife says, we should go and visit her and spend some time with her. So we start making plans. But see, we change the plans. And we make another plans, and we change the plans. And that was for 6 months that we changed those plans. And one of the last times I told my wife, we have to make the reservations. We need to go and talk to my sister. And that week, she was considering doing that. She's taking care of those things for me. And a brother came and says, I have a daughter. She's dying of cancer. She wants somebody to go and talk to her. I met this young lady 15, 20 years before. I invite her to church. She had two children, like 5 and maybe 9 years old, a boy and a girl. And I told her, bring your children to church. They need to hear God's word. We have a Sunday school for them. She was a beautiful girl. She just smiled, young mother. She never came. 15, 20 years later, she's sick of cancer, and she has not so long time to live. So her father, being a brother, he says, I want somebody to talk to my daughter. So I say, ask to one of the brothers to go along with you. He asked here and there. Everybody was busy. And he, with tears, he says, nobody cares for my daughter. Nobody cares. I told my wife, we gotta go. So we went, spent a week with the family having services, about 18 people in the service, and about 10, 15 children. And we talked to her. And she repented. She had a hope of eternal life. So we came back home with joy. And I told my wife, we need to go to my sister now. That weekend, I was coming from work. And my brother called me. He says, our sister passed away a couple hours ago. So I got confused. I said, God, you was not able to wait a little longer. I got confused. I was driving. I was just crying. And the Holy Spirit says to me, so you can do a better job than us. I had to ask God for forgiveness because those thoughts came to my mind. And I struggle. I struggle. And I ask, please, I know that you have a better way. You have a better way. I have some comfort, and I want to share with you. Because that day that I spoke to my sister, she started reading the Bible. After the funeral, the children says, Mom was not the same. She didn't worship idols no more. She would read the Bible every day. So that gave me comfort. And it's the only hope that I can wait for. I didn't speak to her about her personal relationship with God the last days. But you might think you experienced something similar. We want signs. Oh God, show me, clear for me, the better way for me. And we just need to trust our Heavenly Father that He does in a better way for us. Jesus told these people, you're not going to have any sign. You will have only one, and it's the prophet Jonah. And you and I know a lot, plenty about Jonah. He became rebellious when God called him, go and preach to Nineveh and tell them they have 40 days to repent. Can you find hope in those words, brother, sister? 40 days. I find hope put out wicked people. But Jonah, he know that people, wicked people, God should be something about it. I cannot stand wicked people. And probably you too, brother and sister. That give us pain in our hearts to see the wicked way of many. But see, God said to Jonah, go and tell them, proclaim them 40 days, I will destroy Nineveh. This was no other hope. God can use maybe somebody else except Jonah, because Jonah, he says, no way. I will not do anything for that people. So he went in his own way, paid the price to go to another city, far from God. I don't want to hear it. But God knew that Jonah needed to learn some things. Mercy, there's one. And that is God loved these people as wicked they are. And he worked in Jonah. He has a better way. He has a better way to work in us. Jonah went in his way, and he find out himself in the belly of the big fish, because God says so. And we remember, Jonah realized, I'm miserable, I'm going to die, I didn't obey God, and this is what I got. But see, he called upon God from that place. There was no hope for him. 3 days, 3 nights, and he called upon the Lord. And the Lord hears him. And he asked that the fish will throw Jonah again at the beach. And God says, Jonah, go and talk to the people, because I love them. Can you find the rest of the words and the message? God calls us, to each one of us, to repent, because he loves us. And Jesus said that the Son of Man came to find sinners to repent. Is that is why we are here. Each one of us. And we forgot why we've been forgiven. As I was preparing this morning, the devil came and brought some of my old sins in the past. Some things that I didn't even remember for 40 years in my Christian life. And I said, Lord, I didn't remember this. Please forgive me. And I know that the devil wants to disturb our peace, our minds, and bring some of the ways to judge us. And what happened in Nineveh? See, Jonah came and started walking to the big, great city. The Bible describes the Nineveh was a great city, a lot of people, a lot of animals, and God cared for those animals too. So he touched their hearts. And I believe that there was different things that God used in that people. Signs. This man, I'm pretty sure that those men in the ship came back and told the whole story to the neighbors, to the family, and share everything, and they told what happened. Now they see this man again. Probably it's what happened. And they said, he's still alive. Now he's telling us God has given us a chance, 40 days. 40 days. What can you do in 40 days? You can make a lot of money. You can make any other decisions. But you know, things in this life, they perish, will stay one over here. Recently, I heard the three last petitions of Alexander the Great. Before he died, he called his generals and says, listen, I want three things when I die that you need to do for me. Number one, I want you to get the best doctors in the area. They will carry my casket. The second one, all my riches, my gold, my pearls, you need to throw everything as you walk to the place where you're going to bury me. Number three, be sure that my hands, they're upside the casket. There was confusion, so they asked him, why? Sir, why you ask for those things, strange things? He says, I want you to know. I want everybody to know that best doctors cannot cure and prevent death. Second, I want you to know, everybody to know that what you make here will stay here. Third thing, that when you go, you walk with an empty handed. What a lesson for us. A reminder for us. Nineveh was probably with the same people you and I are. The only difference is that now we know Christ, we know a better way, we fix our path. Our ways are straight now. And it's because the Lord has been on our side. He knows the way that we should follow. So Jesus said, this is the only sign that this generation will have. And it's plenty for you and I also. And Nineveh, the people of Nineveh, they repent. And there was not a simple sorrow. They fast. They don't eat and drink, and they also don't give the animals nothing to eat or drink. The king says, God might repent what he's planning to do to us. We might find grace and the presence of God. And then knew the God that made the ocean, because Jonah told them, the God that made the earth, the everything, this is the God that I'm running for, away from. We know our God. We know the God that we serve. And we have plenty signs in his word, plenty direction for us that we can not be confused. The second thing Jesus told the disciples, because there was something among them. Jesus said, be careful with the learning of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. What he meant is hypocrisy. The teaching of them against what Jesus will tell them. You know, when we go in our own way, we don't listen to advice. We don't follow direction from the scripture, from our Heavenly Father, His Word. We are in the same place. And we're not going to go too far. We'll carry all our luggage to the end. Nothing is going to be behind. Brother, sister, we're responsible. Let's be sure that we're walking with our Heavenly Father in our way. And they say, okay, he's saying this because we forgot to bring bread. They forgot. I forgot some things in my life, important things. Even when I was coming, I told Brother Bob, when I was coming to the airport, I forgot that the airlines that I was supposed to take. And my daughter says, oh, Dad, what is the airline? I said, I don't remember. 5 in the morning, I was afraid to call my wife to ask her. And then she said, is not Frontier? And I said, you know what? Yeah, it is. It is Frontier, yeah. Yeah, thank God was the right way, the right place. Do you forget things, important things? We do. How about the hopes that God gave us in His Word, we forgot? We search for direction. We forgot. They forgot that they have plenty and more than once. A lot of people got fed. A lot of people got enough, more than enough. And Jesus said, collect all the leftovers so we can use everything in the right way. And allow me to express it that way. They forgot. But he was telling them something deeper than the bread. You know, he's telling us, be careful with the people that you socialize with. People that they can damage your Christian life. And we sometimes not so careful. They can be at work, they can be with the neighbors or with people. They influence ourselves. And pretty soon we find out ourselves in a different pathway. Be careful. Jesus knew their hearts, and they asked them, who said the people that the Son of Man is? And they said, some people said that John the Baptist, because there was something similar. Maybe the preaching. Jesus spoke about the repentance, and John the Baptist talked about the repentance, and people repent. So there was common thing. But said, no, some people said Elijah or Jeremiah or some of the prophets, and you and I remember some of the things from those prophets that we have a lot of benefit when we have things to be encouraged. Remember Elijah? Yeah, probably you remember when he was running away because he was afraid. You know, probably the devil wants us to remember those things, right? But can you remember when people come and say, I'm thinking about the word. It's not coming, but there was something like, men of God, The king says that you should come. And he says, if I'm a man of God, fire will come down and consume you. We remember those stories. And God listened. God honored what Elijah did. And another group of people came again. And the same word was spoken to him. The king says that you should come down. And he says, if I'm a man of God, fire will come down. And that happened again. And we remember the third captain came with another group of 50 and says, man of God, that thy servant will find grace in thy presence, that my life and those 50 that with me will be gracious to in thy sight. Please come with us. See, Elijah needs to hear those things too. We need to hear those things too in our daily life. When people realize you are a man of God, you are a woman of God. I remember one time being alone in a subway restaurant. And I pray for the meal. And as I was praying, I feel a hand in my shoulder. So I look up, and there is a man standing by. He says, I want to thank you. Do not be embarrassed to pray in prison, to pray in public. God bless you. And I want to encourage you to keep doing that. People need to see you, that you are a son of the living God, that you do not embarrass, that God will honor your life and the presence of others, that you can be a light. What do you remember about Jeremiah? We remember that he was called the crying prophet. And you and I probably cry sometimes because there is pain in life. There is discouragement in life. There is confusion in life. There is disappointments in life. What do you find out about Jeremiah? God told Jeremiah, I chose you. I chose you to be my prophet. And let's remember that God chose you, chose us to be his servants wherever we are. And probably God is not asking us to write a big book, but God maybe ask you to just write a small note for somebody. Our encouragement. Maybe, see, in Jeremiah's time was not a phone. So probably a phone call to someone that we know that needs help. What do we remember about them? Oh, we remember plenty from Jesus. His purpose in this life, his preaching. And he told us the last words to his disciples and to us too. I will be with you all the days of your life. I will be with you. But you have a command. I will be with you. God bless his word.
The Pharisees and the Sadducees were enemies. They hated each other. But they came together because they had a common cause. They hated the Lord Jesus. And so they came together in this hatred, common hatred that they had for him, for the Messiah, they came to him. And they came together and they asking him, show us a sign. And it's not long ago, we could read in chapter 12, that they did this again to him. They did this first time. And he gave them the sign of the prophet of Jonas. He said, you're not going to get a different sign than that. And he explained it to them. But they came back to him again, and he gives them the exact same sign, but he doesn't go into the detail here that he did in chapter 12. They were looking, they knew, they saw that he raised people from the dead. They saw, they knew he walked on water, that he turned water into wine. And they knew he did miracles, but they said he did all that in the power of Beelzebub, the devil. They wanted something from heaven. Give us a sign from heaven. He refused. He knew what they were looking for. He said, you have the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he cuts off all further. There's a finality to his. He's done with them. From here, when he speaks about them, he speaks of judgment. They have refused him. And we see now that he turns his focus to his disciples. He turns his focus to them. He wants to prepare them. Who do people say that I am? And he says, and they tell him, some say that you're one of the prophets, John the Baptist, Elijah. These are great men. So it's almost like the multitudes are giving them a compliment that he's a great man. And that's what you will find in Christendom today, even. People look at him as a great man. He's far more than a great man. And he says, who do you say that I am? And Peter, being the spokesman for the group, says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He wants his disciples to have it very clear to them who he is and what he is about to do. He begins his journey to Jerusalem to die. And they need to be aware. This needs to be very clear to them that he is going to Jerusalem to die. The sign of the prophet Jonah. And they didn't understand earlier what he's speaking of when he speaks of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They right away turn to bread, thinking it's bread, and he scolds them to a point. And he says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. What is that leaven? In Luke 12, we see verse 1, he says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. In chapter 7 of Mark, he describes that the Pharisees, they annulled the law of God to keep their own law. That's the leaven. And so, dear ones, Brother Jose, in the prayer, he prayed a very sincere desire that God would show us the meaning of his word. This is what Jesus' desire is, that we understand his word, because that's who he is. He wants his disciples to be clear. He wants us to be clear who he is and what he did for us. And he tells them here, he says, I will build my church on this rock. That rock is not Peter. Peter, the word in Greek is a little rock, Peter. But he says, I will build my church on this rock. Who is this rock? He is the rock. And Peter in his epistle clearly says, no other foundation will no one lay. Jesus is the foundation. He is that bedrock. And Jesus says, I will build my church on this rock, on himself. And he says, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. This is death. Death will not prevail. You and I will die, but that is not our end. That will not prevail upon the foundation, upon the church that is going to be built at that time. Going to be, now it is. It's come to fruition. He says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you will bind on earth and loose in earth will be loosed in heaven. What does that mean, dear ones? Is that some power that was given to the Apostle Peter? Is that some power that was given to the apostles? Is it a power that is given unto the elders? That's all. That power is given to everyone who knows who he is, who knows him. That power is revealing him. So, brothers and sisters, if I am in sin and you have the key to the gospel, the understanding of who Christ is, and you hold that back from me to help me, you have held back the gospel, salvation from me. But if you reveal God's will to me and pull me out of that sin, you have loosened, you have revealed. We all have this key. Whoever claims that they know Christ has the key. Are we using the key? Are we loosing? Are we binding? Every one of us have been commissioned to use the key to the gospel, which is Jesus Christ, as we know him, to reveal him one to another. May God bless his word in this morning upon our hearts. Amen.